For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, I'm sad we didn't get to go yesterday. I was really hoping the Arizona fans would hop in the comments. It never ceases to amaze me how when I talk as casually as possible about a team, people just get so upset. What was it? Did we even say anything that negative about Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that you realistically said your thoughts about Brennan, okay, about being their head coach. I think I would have been in the same boat with you if I had not gone and done deeper research on them in the running game, like where he's been, right? Like what he's done. I'm not disagreeing with you, though. I mean, I mean, we don't know what we don't know with him. I do think he's got a really good quarterback. I also think he's got a really good receiver. I also think he's got a really good running back. I have no idea what their offensive line is going to do. But I don't think Arizona's fans were as worse as Oklahoma's were.
No, definitely not. Well, because we were actually probably the most calm about Oklahoma. And I think that we were probably the most realistic with how difficult of a challenge that they're going to be facing. But, I mean, it's funny when you actually listen to the whole segment, we said that Arizona was going to go 9-3. We said that they were going to go 10-2 potentially. They could maybe be a playoff team. And apparently that wasn't good enough. I just was referring to and laughing at that one guy who took a picture of his own phone, took a picture of my high school stats, which I don't have any. It was an offensive lineman. Somebody took a picture of that, and for some reason that it was his justification that I wasn't, you know, I shouldn't be talking about Arizona football.
Yeah, and then somebody said, imagine getting shit on by a long snapper. I mean, well, imagine getting shit on by Pat McAfee, who was a kicker or a punter. Like, he kicked off and he punted. I mean, so.
He hit people. He played in the NFL. People forget how hard that is.
All right, well, let me pull up the the footage of Jonathan Vilma knocking his helmet off along the sidelines when I think
well, that was Reggie mistake.
Bush. You were right. So, like, everybody's going to show us highlights, but let's not forget of some of those things. But I wonder if the Washington fans will be the same way with us today as we do a Washington deep dive. We'll also talk about a segment that you wanted to bring up, potential with the Dan Hurley news, the potential head coaches in football that could make the leap. I'm going to say one that you're going to never expect that I would go there with, but I'm going to go there with. So potential college football head coaches that could head to the NFL or at least get pursued. And then we'll wrap up with, Joe, what I think is the dumbest thing ever is people getting upset about this Army-Navy thing.
All right, man, that is completely, completely justified getting upset over. And you and I were saying this when we were getting ready to do the show and we were about to go live. God forbid that we want to keep the one goddamn thing that feels normal, that has been around since the inception of the sport, that has been a tradition for 100 whatever years, that the only game that we have played on that singular day is Army-Navy. And now we got the, whatever it is, the Gasparilla Bowl that's getting played at nighttime. It's bullshit, man. We can't have one sacred thing in the sport. I'm cool with everything changing. I've been pro changing things and the game getting better and more competitive matchups throughout the season. But goddamn, God forbid that we lose this. You don't like sitting and watching the Army-Navy game and knowing that that's all is on during the day.
I have. You know, something that my grandfather was awarded in World War II that was passed on to me when he passed. Yes, I do. I have a grandfather that served in World War II and was in the Army. A grandfather that served in World War II that was in the Navy. 100% I do. But here's where I'm going to come at it, which here you're about to yell, but please let me finish before you start yelling. With all of those other changes, did you not expect something like this to happen? I mean, Joe, traditionally,
yeah, I guess.
When you say expand the playoffs, okay, those dates were always going to be moved up. Okay, like those bowl games were always going to be moved up. I don't know what, like, do I love the tradition of it being the only game on that day? Yeah. Does it bother me that there's going to be a game that night at 7? Yeah, because you know what? There's also going to be an NFL game that night played at 7. It's not like football's not on.
Wait, is there really an NFL? I don't know why.
Yeah, it's NFL primetime. I think the Saints play on that Saturday, either that Saturday or the Saturday before. But that's when the NFL starts playing games on Saturday. So, I mean, look, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But let's not act like tradition has been long out the window since 2020, since NIL was enacted, since amateurism was dead, since the portal was enacted. Like, this, like, God, I can't believe I'm going to go here, but here you go about to yell. Like, it's just weird to me, the fights that we choose to get in as a sport. Right? Like, I just really find it weird that we're going to be gung-ho about this tradition, but yet when we have things that are out there that could save the sport, you know, we take the wrong angles on
like
it.
What? Like what?
Like a booster being on a plane with a quarterback. I mean, let's be honest. Like, let's be honest.
Blake, I don't want to do this.
This is why I was saying we have people fighting over a game being played on only one day, yet boosters can just be on planes. By the way, it's going on now. Did you see the Texas is recruiting weekend?
Yeah, I did. I saw the whole thing. Oh,
okay. So can we just stop for just a second? You have a mega booster having employees drive Lamborghinis, Maseratis, and all these sports cars up to the recruiting visits. By the way, you can't decorate their hotel room. But, oh, we're going to fight for the Army-Navy game for it to be the only game played on the same day.
But Blake, you're comparing two completely different things. I don't like this argument because it's...
No, I'm not.
It is a very complicated issue to talk about what needs to be changed about recruiting. That is not a solvable, fixable problem in one conversation. But what is a solvable, fixable problem is saying, do we need to schedule two games the same weekend that has always been Army-Navy?
Okay, let me ask.
Monday.
Okay, well, I guess we're gonna have the segment here. So, I knew this was gonna happen. That's why I said this in the beginning.
Yeah,
Joe, you do realize that they forced those bowl games to move to that date because they didn't have other options for TV rights.
I get that there are conflicts with basically ESPN told them that they had to put them on those dates,
right? And ESPN said that they could not contractually put it on ESPN Plus. They couldn't stream it. They had to put it at a televised rate. So my point is,
goddamn bowl games. Why do we need this many? Why do they need to be played? Well, why did there going to be 2-6-6 teams that go out there and slop around for 3 hours? Two non-deserving teams.
I mean, I love every bowl game that's played. It's more football.
I do too.
Oh, okay, so then let's not go that route. But my point is you have a contract and you had to push it up. What else did you want them to do?
To keep the sanctity of the day. There could have been other solutions. This was a lazy answer to the problem. Yes, they had to move the games to a different day. I would find it hard to believe that was the only usable day that they had available to them. It was probably the easiest day for them to move it to.
Wild. Here's the dots I'm trying to connect. It's so wild to me that everybody wanted to expand the playoff for more football, but yet when you get more football on the same day of college football, you're arguing about the day that it's on.
We're not expanding the playoff because we want more football. We want more meaningful football. The bowl games, and especially now more than ever, these bowl games that are played on the same day as Army-Navy, again, meaningless. 6-win, 7-win G5 teams playing each other, meaningless. The 12-team playoff.
To the players and coaches and fan bases, do you think that they think it's meaningless?
It's meaningless from the scope of winning a national title. There's a reason why there's not many people. That's also not true because most of these fan bases barely show up for the game. You look in the stands, there's nobody at the games.
Here's the thing. The only thing that – let me tell you what rubbed me the wrong way. How is this disrespecting the military too?
Well, that's not what I'm that I don't agree with, and I don't think that's the right angle. I think idiots are upset but don't know how to effectively articulate it. That's not the problem. I'm just talking about the tradition of college football, and in the sport, it has been something that for so long that every single person has grown up with. Everybody has grown up with knowing that this weekend is Army-Navy, and that is the only game that is going to be played during that day.
You know what you haven't grown up with?
What?
A Notre Dame national championship in football.
Screw you. Okay.
I get what you're saying. I understand what everybody's saying, but Joe, I gotta be honest. It just, okay. You know, like it's okay to me. Like I'm not.
Sorry, Elks.
I didn't even see that. I turned the comments off. I look, it's okay to me. You know what's interesting is I wonder if you ask those guys in the military or those guys that are in West Point or they go to Navy how much it bothers them that there's another game being played on that day.
I don't think many of them
don't think that they care either. I don't think that they care. And look, I get the point. It's just, you know, I mean, what's worse? The Army-Navy game having more football being played on the same day or Joey Chestnut being banned because he's got a different hot dog sponsor?
That's also a bad thing. They're both bad. Well, it was a vegan hot dog sponsor. That's also really stupid to me. Doing too much these days,
Can I admit something?
You agree with
that? I have not watched a hot dog eating contest since I think it was the fridge that was in it, and he ate like 12 hot dogs.
That's it. Wait, that's all he ate?
He only ate like 12 hot dogs, yeah.
Lame as shit.
Well, I mean, he just was there for lunch, man. He was just there for lunch. It doesn't move me like it's moved everybody else. It doesn't bother me. Sorry. Call me heartless. I don't know.
Disappointing.
Incredibly disappointing. What's interesting, you know, I could find some tweets of people wishing that there were more games on that day. You know,
Who has said that? Who has said that?
Oh, you want
those aren't real football fans.
Hey,
those aren't real football fans.
Hold on for just a second. You want me, who has been a troll and can be a troll and bookmarks every single tweet that he disagrees?
Go ahead. Go look for them, please. Who has said that? They have to not be real football fans if they have said that before this decision.
It's interesting that you bring that up because. Are you sure you want to go down this route?
Yeah, pull one up. Pull it up. I want to find out what happens. I want to play the game.
Are you 100% sure?
Do you have one bookmarked and pulled up right now?
I have one bookmarked from you. All right. Yes.
Read it.
Last year's Army-Navy game, Joe DeLeon. The only thing that sucks about this day is there's not more college
Bullshit.
Football being played.
Bullshit. Put it on the screen. Put it on the screen. I don't believe you. Put it on the screen.
Oh, buddy.
It's not a real tweet. Put it on the screen.
Oh, it's ironic. It just got deleted. Why did you delete this tweet?
My hands were free. You stink. Tried to pull that one on me. That would have been funny if you actually pulled that up.
It would have been funny, but I almost got you. All right. We got lots to get to here. Let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. Everybody do us a favor during the break, though. Hit that like button. Hit the share if you're on YouTube. Continue to subscribe. Notification bell, all that good stuff. If you're on Facebook, like, share to all those groups and your own social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, we come back. Are there some head coaches in college football that could head to the NFL? We talk about that next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back!
All right. Let's get going. Joe, what is interesting is yesterday, which I think has sparked this segment from us from a college football perspective, UConn head basketball coach Dan Hurley declined the offer to go to the Los Angeles Lakers, which was, I think, pretty monumental for college athletics. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, look, it is the Lakers. He does have LeBron on that team, or would have had LeBron on that team. But Dan Hurley stays, which then made us think about a segment of who are some college football coaches that could be entering the NFL either next year or next couple of years. We're going to pick three. I start off with you here, though. Who is a college coach or some college coaches that you think that could entertain the NFL in the next couple of seasons or next year?
Yeah, first of all, thought this could be a fun conversation because of the debate that was being sparked with Dan Hurley, if he's ready, if it makes sense. It's a very different world in football, and we did have one guy this past year in Jim Harbaugh who went to the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't know if we're going to have somebody in this upcoming year. But the first one who comes to mind, and this might be one of the more controversial ones to bring up, and I know it might be for a large demographic of our listeners. I really think there's a possibility. Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart to me, and I don't think that this is a case where I don't think this is a situation where he'd ever leave because of frustration or whatever. Kirby Smart is right now the best coach in college football, and he's going to continue to dominate. He's likely, and he's my pick, to win a national title in 2024. He's going to get another one this upcoming year. But I look at other coaches throughout history with similar backgrounds as him. Steve Spurrier is one who comes to mind, who won a Heisman Trophy at Florida, won a national title at Florida, and was a coach there. And then he jumped to the NFL, eventually came back to college football because he did not succeed in the NFL. But that's a really good example.
Or did it too.
Right. I just think somebody like Kirby Smart, who maybe in the next, might not happen for another 10 years. Someone like Kirby Smart, who has this competitive edge, who's extremely, extremely competitive, it's at a certain point might get that itch that he wants to try out and see if he can win in the NFL as well. And there's a reason why we started to hear some murmurs that he could be opening, you know, be in that conversation for the Falcons job. I don't think that that was fake. I think that that was legitimate. It might have been short-lived, but I think it was legitimate. But Kirby, the way that he succeeded, I think eventually the NFL is definitely going to continue to keep calling until he makes the decision to make the jump.
I'm going to push back. Kirby's not my top three, and I thought that he would have been. Joe, if there was a team that he would have gone to, I think Atlanta would have made the most sense. Right? Like, he doesn't have to move. It wasn't a very good roster, though, to take over.
Actually, it wasn't a very good roster situation to take over.
Any head coach that's going into the NFL, good head coaches aren't getting, like, fired.
Well, look at Harbaugh. Harbaugh took an opportunity that he knew that was a good situation for him. Great young quarterback, already solidified offensive situation, and just needed to build it.
I mean, that's fair, but I mean, you're talking about a guy who barely wanted to even entertain his, let's just call it what it is, his hometown NFL team. Like, did he even want to, like, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, didn't even entertain it. And I'm going to push back on this. This was the big thing for me. When Kirby left with Nick to go to Miami, Kirby's been in the NFL. He was in the NFL with Nick in Miami. Didn't like it. I think he learned from Nick. I think he learned from Nick like where he wanted to be, what happened in that entire situation. You know, Kirby was at LSU with Nick. He was at Miami with Nick. He was at Alabama with Nick. Clearly, I just can never see it. And the only way that I could is that things do have to get bad. Like NIL has to really take over and Georgia's not competitive or for whatever reason, but that's not going to happen.
I just don't think he's the type of coach though that this is why I let in with that. I don't think he's the type of coach that's ever going to get pushed out because he doesn't like how things are moving in the sport. Like he seems very adaptable.
Well, and that's also to his mentor. Also, there's been a lot of things. If you follow a lot of college athletics, like his son's a very good golfer, like a legit golfer. He ain't leaving Athens. It's just not going to happen. So I get what you're saying. I can't buy into Kirby leaving. I think if Kirby wanted to leave, he's had multiple opportunities and things would have to happen. You know what could happen? A cheating scandal like Harbaugh had could happen and he could leave.
But
who knows? Can I tell you my number one? And this is in no specific order. Brian Kelly for me.
I had a feeling the way that you led that in, I had a feeling that you were going to say that.
Do I think that Brian Kelly goes? No. I mean, look, he's older in age. I think BK has had multiple opportunities. You know, he's talked here a lot to us, you know, that covers him every day. He's talked a lot to us that it just doesn't jive with him. He's even talked to a lot of head coaches like Matt LaFleur, who was under him in Central Michigan. And who's the guy with the Jets? Sala, isn't it? Robert Sala, who was GAs under him at Central Michigan. But, Joe, if like a Dallas job opened up, you know, like if Mike McCarthy, you know, like it leaves and he gets in the mix, does Brian Kelly ultimately want, like, does that ever happen? I don't know, but I think Brian Kelly is built to adapt too. I really do believe that if you know, the right opportunity, like you said, could come up, it's a possibility. Now, let me just say this. He's denied it from every outlet, like every time that he said that. And I'm not saying he will. But this is a hypothetical game that you and I are playing, right? Like we're playing a hypothetical game of what might happen or coaches could go there. He would be one. And I think that I got to be real with you. I would be highly – I know it's a team that I cover. I'd be highly intrigued to see BK because he doesn't have to recruit. He can be X's and O's.
He doesn't like recruiting. We all know that.
Well, I mean, he does have the number one recruiting class in the country. He has the number one quarterback. I don't think that that's fair. I mean, he's recruiting better at LSU than what he ever did at Notre Dame.
I don't think they still have the number one recruiting class.
Oh, who has the number one recruiting class in 2025?
I think it's Ohio State. Yeah, it's Ohio State. It's Notre Dame, and LSU's at 9.
Okay, well, what's today's
date? Because I think when they lost to Corey and Moore, I think it bumped them.
June 11th.
It bumped him down.
How about this? How about
you were no. Don't you were talking shit when they were at number one when they still had Corey Moore. So don't no, Joe, they're you, nine. You were, they're okay, at okay, nine.
Joe, you do realize since Brian Kelly they're not at number nine.
247 Sports has them at nine.
Right now?
Yes. Well, all right, I'll pull up the On3 industry rankings.
Let's see. Pull up On3.
2025 recruiting.
Please, dear Lord, because they're gonna probably be at like two.
Oh, yeah, they are number two.
Okay, so shut the fuck up. in all fairness, he's recruited better at LSU than he has at Notre Dame. He has a bigger base to recruit.
All right, that's not the conversation.
I would be very intrigued to see how he does. Do I think it ever happens? No, I actually don't. I don't think
it happens either because he had the one flirtation that he did with the Eagles when he was still at Notre Dame. I just think that what happens with these coaches is that usually they have a flirtation and then the decision's made to stay and then it kind of shuts down and ends with that. Unless you're somebody like Harbaugh who bounces back and forth. Kirby's young. He's early into this process. You know, he's not as old as BK. So that there's probably going to be a good 10 years where he's going to get brought up for NFL jobs and he's probably going to turn them down.
Yeah, and look, Brian, I mean, it's not like
Brian Kelly's too old. I just don't think it's going
to know if he's too old, Joe. I mean, you legitimately have a head baseball coach at 66 that just took a job in the SEC. I don't, you know.
Wait, I'm not saying that he's too old to the point where,
I mean,
he's going to retire soon. I'm just saying that a lot of times these guys, when they're in their 60s, they're looking for that last job.
Less would be off his plate. It'd be easier to be a head coach of an NFL team than it would be a college head coach right now. I mean, let's just be honest. Is Lincoln Riley on your list? Because
no, I didn't put Lincoln on mine. Did you put Lincoln on yours?
Yeah, I put him at number two. Joe, if the pressure continues to mount for Lincoln, I could clearly see him jumping ship. 100%.
I could see it too. He was right on the outside for me. I had a feeling you were going to bring him up, so I wanted to bring somebody else to the table here. He is very similar to another guy, which I'll bring up when we're done talking about Lincoln. Because of, I just feel like the way that we've seen the inconsistencies with his recruiting classes, where the 2024 class wasn't very good, and then this 2025 class is great, but there's speculation that Juju Lewis might not stay committed, which could really hurt what he's trying to build offensively. I mean, that's the number one quarterback in the class that he would miss out on. And a lot of these other guys are committed to big programs, which would make it hard for him to eventually find that replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But to this point that you're bringing up, yeah, he does kind of strike me as the type of a coach who gets frustrated and bounces. He literally did that at Oklahoma. And I think that the NFL, and he's young and early into this process of flirtation, as I've talked about, where I think plenty of teams are going to reach out to him. And Jerry Jones,
if they haven't already,
have an affinity for him. Right. Jerry Jones seems to like him.
Yeah, and look, he's another one. Joe, can I be real with you? I'd be highly intrigued to see him in the NFL. Because
I think he could succeed in the NFL.
I do too. Because he doesn't have to recruit. If he's got a good enough quarterback, you know, like, you know, what if this doesn't work well with the Bears? Then what happens? You know, like I think that he might be one of the more likely ones. Legitimately, Joe, let me ask you a question. If the Bears fall flat on their ass this year and Caleb Williams is their quarterback, you mean to tell me that they do not give Lincoln Riley a phone call?
Oh, I think that they definitely do.
Okay.
That's a very, very good point. That's a very unique circumstance that we have here where the Bears and Poles would then be on the hot seat if they fired, holy hell, the name of the Bears head coach is completely escaping me. Why is it? I'm going to look it up in a second. I don't know why. But Poles, if they fired the head coach, would be on the hot seat. He'd be given a short leash. So if he wants things to work with Caleb Williams, go hire the guy that knows how to speak Caleb Williams offensively.
Right.
I would wonder if that would work, because we kind of saw too much freelancing from Caleb this past year, and Lincoln kind of let him just do whatever he wanted. But to this point, yeah, I could totally see Eberflus. Thank you, Ryan.
That would be my number one guy, to be honest, if you beg me to rank him, because I just think that there could be, I mean, Joe, McCarthy might be out the door. You know, there's been flirtation with him going back to Texas, even though his brisket looks like ass when he cooks it. I mean, there's just so many different things. Let me bring this one up, too, Cody McGee says, and sends a $999 super chat, says, my pick to jump ship would be Lane Kiffin back to the NFL. Reason why is look at Cliff Kingsbury at Arizona, became OC of the Washington Commanders. Thank you, Cody, for the super chat. I don't think Lane would. I can't see that. Could you?
I think he's been burned already. I mean,
he was also very young, man. I mean, you're talking about Joe, think about this. He was my age.
When he was very young, Marcus Russell.
I mean, dude, he was my age. And let me just tell you, I couldn't do it.
There's a lot of speculation on how he handled that situation. I'm not going to dive into that, but.
Let's just call it what it is. He gave him a blank disc. He didn't, you know, Jamarcus Ruckles didn't.
That's not what I was getting. And I'll text you off air. But I think he was very burned by that, though. You know, like I really think that circumstance and the way that didn't work out. I think a lot of times with coaches, the shit hits the fan as aggressively as it does. they want some sort of consistency. If he moves, it's going to be for a different college job, you know?
Yeah, like Florida.
I still don't think that's going to happen. My number two guy that I had, we've got a lot of SEC coaches in this. Actually, I'll give my third one in a second. In the same vein as Lincoln Riley.
Here comes Ryan Day.
I think that Ryan Day fits into the conversation because of what you said, but he is, I think, for the next couple of years going to be very successful because there's been this aggressive commitment to building the program. I think that if Ryan Day, still with all of the NIL resources and help and recruiting he's currently getting, if he still falls short, it's going to be one of those circumstances, maybe not because of frustration, but maybe a polite nudging by the athletic department that, like, hey, you know, we don't want to fire you. You've done some great stuff. We don't want you to leave here in disgrace, but maybe you should take those interviews that you're getting with the NFL. And I also think he's somebody who would succeed in the NFL. He has been a coach who has known how to build a winning culture and build a roster and be around consistent winning cultures. The only thing that might get in his way is how badly the Urban Meyer experiment went. And I don't know if the NFL might take that, too much.
Well, yeah. To your point, two of his mentors, one that's now his offensive coordinator and the one that he was at OC for, and Urban Meyer, both of them, I don't want to say that Chip Kelly failed. You know, like everybody said, that, you know, everybody listens to LeSean McCoy and said, oh, everything that he's saying, truth. Do you guys ever listen to LeSean McCoy and hear anything that he says?
Dude, his show's terrible. His show is so bad.
Well, bro. Some of the stuff that he says makes me think that Chip Kelly wasn't as bad as he was, right? Like, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Because he and DeSean Jackson are the only two guys that have talked negatively about him.
Well, and not only that, you get to a place where, like, dude, you can't say some of the outlandish shit that you say. And I'm talking about, I know that I say some crazy stuff sometimes. That dude says some outlandish shit. Here's the thing, though, for me, though, with Ryan Day, I just brought it up. Dude, when you have mentors that have failed in it, I don't know that. But here's the thing that why I put Ryan Day at three. So here's my number three to your number two. Ryan Day was number three for me for this reason alone. Joe, they have a new AD. And what do new ADs want? Okay, new ADs want their own guy in there. And I think, like, God forbid, which I don't think is going to happen, but God forbid they lose to Michigan again. You think that Alberts isn't going to want to make a move?
Well, this is a big part of it too.
Fire him, but look, dude, you have a guy that legitimately just got Jimbo out, and he's done some very interesting things. I mean, so you know,
and also why we add too that we like Cliff Kingsbury got
Alberts,
a head.
Why did I say Alberts?
Do you think of Trev Alberts who took the Texas A&M? He's at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
The previous Texas A&M AD left to go to Ohio State.
Yeah,
we also forget sometimes that Cliff Kingsbury was fired from his Texas Tech job.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you.
Yes. He was fired from his Texas Tech job and then landed a head coaching gig. So it's not like it's impossible for him to get let go. And the NFL, and if he's got a good agent, know how to spin that to move into getting a new job.
I think he had Cliff King. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury had Patrick Mahomes, and he failed.
Yeah, I don't know who anyone thought that was going to work. I think the most obvious one here, though, and this is one that we said when this hiring came through, Kalen DeBoer, I think, is the most likely out of any of these guys in 3 years to make the jump to the NFL. He actually, to connect all of the dots, you were the one who even made this statement, so don't grimace, make that face at me, because you said it, that he would probably leave in 4 to 5 years.
That was before he was the Alabama head coach.
No, you said it the day that he got hired. You said the day that he, I will go pull the clip. You said the day that he got hired that you think that he will be 9-3, 10-2 for the next 5 years.
Okay,
and then he'll get hired in the NFL.
Say that. I see what you're saying. Okay.
To connect all the dots, I think he reminds me a ton of Dan Hurley from the aspect of worked his way up very quickly, is a very unique-minded individual, is extremely creative in his decision-making, is just the new wave of head coach and is leading the way. And I think that for him to be that reflection, it won't be very long for him to get the interest from the NFL. I think if he wins an SEC championship game and gets a couple playoff berths, I really think he's going to get a lot of phone calls. And he has also proven that he is a jump and move up type of a guy. There's not a lot of evidence to show that he is a sit and build for a very long time type of a coach.
Yeah, but a lot of coaches before they get to very big programs are like that too. I mean, you could have said the same thing about Brian Kelly. You could have said the same thing about Urban Meyer. You could have said the same thing about, I mean, really and truly, you could say the same thing about Nick Saban.
Yeah,
I mean, Nick wasn't anywhere really as a head coach more than 40 years. I mean, I think it was three, four, and then two or three. I mean,
Toledo 1 year, and then he took the Browns DC job for 3 years. He was at Michigan State for four. He was at LSU for four, and the Dolphins for two. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. So I think that brings a point. To your point, the more that I think about this, maybe I should listen to my old self, but the way that I feel right now, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know with him. Because, Joe, if he continues to go 9-3, is there going to be enough buzz out there for him to take an NFL job?
If they're top five in offensive production every single year, yes.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, maybe so. Maybe I can see it. And look, I got in arguments with Alabama fans again this week. They fully believe that that man is going to replicate Saban. They have convinced themselves that they're not saying that he's going to replicate what Nick Saban has done. But yet they still believe that they're SEC championship ready, like today. And I'm like, come on, dude. Come on.
I think they're close. I can't wait till we do that deep dive. We are going to scream at one another for 20 straight minutes. I'm telling you right now, I do not agree with you.
I think they're close to winning an SEC championship today.
Yeah, I think that they're going to compete for one this year. I really do. I really think that everything that they have is it's funny watching a different cook try to prepare a meal last year with all the wrong ingredients.
Those ingredients
that they have are going to be perfect for Kalen DeBoer.
Name the starting five in their secondary.
The secondary is a huge question mark, but we are acting like Saban, understandably some guys left. We're acting like Saban didn't leave him still a very well recruited roster.
Sure. Do you remember who their quarterback is? So I told you
I'm flipping the script on Jalen Milroe. Tommy Rees, Jalen Milroe. Hell no, I'm not getting in on that boat. And I doubted the shit out of him. Kalen DeBoer, Jalen Milroe. You bet your ass I'm rooting for him. I think he's gonna be great this year.
I wouldn't root for him. What I'm saying is, like, SEC championship ready. Who are they competing against?
Georgia, Ole Miss.
Okay, so what you're LSU. Saying is right now. That they would be in the mix of,
like, they got there last year with so many issues and questions
of all time.
He was 71 when he did it.
Who gives a flying shit how old he was? He's the greatest coach of all time, Joe.
We're acting like we didn't sit on the show and constantly doubt him throughout the entirety. All right, but who's your last coach?
Don't you dare.
We both did. You turned the tide in the middle of the season after they beat LSU. Who's your last coach? Did you share your third one?
Yeah, my third was Ryan Day.
Oh, it was Ryan Day? Okay.
Yeah. Don't you dare. Joe, I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be real with you? I don't know if they're better right now today than Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, LSU. I don't know if they're better than them.
I don't think that they're better, but I think that there is close enough of a gap. I think it, except for Georgia's its own separate tier, and then there's this middle tier where all of those teams are ranked ahead of Alabama, but Alabama's still in that second tier of teams. And what did Kalen DeBoer? DeBoer took a team to the, to a national championship this past year that had more roster weaknesses.
He also had lesser competition.
Chicken or the egg? Lesser competition or better roster? Like that? Like we can sit here and make either point. He has a better roster than he did at Washington.
I like Kalen DeBoer. I'm not saying that I don't. I'm not saying that I don't like Kalen DeBoer. Can we stop right here in reference to how can we say that Texas doesn't know what they're getting themselves into when they go to the SEC and that Kalen DeBoer does?
That's fair.
Okay, so the reason I don't put the second tier, 100% I'm with you. But to be competitive – I don't think anybody understands what they got to overcome. Like Saban coached the – I'm going to be real with you. I think Saban, one of Saban's best coach games that he's ever done was this year when they beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. And I got to be honest with you. I thought the Ole Miss game was the best coach defensive game that he's ever had. It's got it's definitely up there. Outside of the 9-6 LSU game, it was insane. So, Joe, he's replaced an entire defensive line. You don't have a secondary. There's more question marks on that defensive side of the football than a Batman episode with the Riddler.
We could go pull up. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
We could go pull up the recruiting classes of the guys that are filling in. Like, we forget that, you know, Keon Keeley is not going to be stepping up as a sophomore, and he's not incredibly, incredibly gifted as an edge rusher. Like, we forget that they've got all these dudes that stuck around. We were so caught up in the fact that Caleb Downs left and other, Des Ricks left and some of these other DBs. But, man, they are still deep. They're still deep.
So, if any other team had two first-round corners, an All-American safety, and two edge rusher or three defensive linemen, I get what you're saying about the recruiting class. You have no idea what Keon Keeley is going to do on a football field. You have no idea. Because when he was out there last year and had reps, he struggled.
The true freshman. True freshman defensive linemen usually don't do anything.
Not Keon Keeley. Excuse me. The God damn it. The other edge that was on the other side of Will Anderson. Not Will Anderson. Dallas Turner.
Who are you talking about?
The one that stayed, was it not Brathwaite?
Raswell? No, he declared.
God damn it. Who was the other edge?
I'm pulling him to death.
He was also like a top 30 recruit.
I don't know.
Regardless, they're replacing a lot. If any other team replaces that much, you can't tell me that you wouldn't say that they don't have question marks.
I just think it's a unique circumstance because of how deep the roster. Okay, look, we're here to talk about Washington. Let's talk about Washington. We will Alabama deep.
Cody McGee, very quickly, will Sark leave for the NFL? Yes or no? With a $199 super chat.
I would argue that he fits in that conversation too. I think that a lot of times, if guys don't like, he didn't leave for the Alabama job, and that was apparently highly potentially likely. I think guys like him that don't leave
He hated it.
Yeah, but he was an offensive coordinator. It's not like
he was open about it.
He also stunk in the NFL. He was terrible OC in the NFL.
Matt Ryan really was quarterback. They blame him for the offense.
Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. What are you talking about? He won an MVP.
Those last 4 years with Matt Ryan, there was a reason that they moved on from him because he wasn't good.
They didn't have anything around
everything
him.
They blamed everything on Sark when it was a Matt Ryan issue.
That was a Sark issue.
Okay, whatever.
That wasn't a Ryan issue. All right,
you want to get to this Washington deep dive?
Yep, let's do it.
Joe, we go up to Seattle. It's funny because we just got done talking about Kalen DeBoer. But we go up to Seattle in another one of these deep dives. We go to the Washington Huskies. As I always do, because I'm a polite person, I'm going to let you start off first here. What do you think about this upcoming year's team for the Washington Huskies?
Washington fans, remember, please remember before I say any of this, that I am a big fan of you guys. I have been nothing but supportive of you. So don't get upset at me. I'm just the messenger, okay? Don't shoot the messenger in this situation. I think Washington fans are one of the few fan bases in sports that are realistic of expectations, okay? They are replacing not only one of the better coaches in the sport in Kalen DeBoer, but they're also ripped apart for depth because of DeBoer leaving and killed at most of their key important starting positions because of who was just drafted. And I'm referring to the obvious ones. Michael Penix, Roma Dunze, Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan, Braylon Trice, Roger Rosengarten, Troy Fotanu, Edo Olofosio, Dominique Hampton, Devin Culp, and Dylan Johnson.
That's, so they're going to suck.
That's like your whole starting lineup. All I'm just trying to say here is that we need to understand that Jed Fisch is a fantastic coach. I think he is a brilliant, brilliant coach that is going to put Washington eventually in a position to be consistently competitive and competing for Big Ten championships. But this is going to be a bridge year. There is a lot of work that needs to be figured out. That's the simplest way to put it before I get to a projection.
So I agree with everything you just said in reference to Joe. They got so many question marks, and I don't think that they just have question marks on players that will be there and players that are they got from the portal. I also don't know what their defensive staff is going to show me, right? I mean, like, look, man, there's a different way to call games, there's a different way to coach, there's a different way to teach from the NFL than it is in college football. I do think that Belichick's defense is going to be interesting to watch. You know, I think it's an interesting hire. I think he fits the culture like in Seattle. I mean, like, remember the goofy memes of him with his tongue out and all that stuff? The dude just loves Breeze football. I get all that.
Yeah.
The question becomes for me, Joe, is how much when you have to replace, can you be realistic on what your expectations can be? But I got to admit something, man. I don't know if they're not a little bit better than some are expecting them to be. And you
have, yes.
You have poo-pooed on this guy. I'm not going to. Joe, I'm really intrigued by Will Rogers.
I'm stunned, man. Like, you're so out on you've been so out on Washington for so long, and it just takes one SEC guy to just bring you in. There's an SEC guy on the roster. Washington's gonna be good. They got Will Rogers. Okay, I'm just giving you shit.
What was I out on with Washington last year?
I'm giving you a hard time.
I was out on their secondary. They were ranked 113th.
You picked against them every single time that we had a big game for them.
I picked against them twice. I picked them against Oregon. I picked Oregon twice.
And you picked? Did you not pick USC? You might have picked USC.
I might have.
And
might
you picked have. Utah.
No, remember, I learned my lesson at the end of the year. Remember.
All right, but I'm giving you a hard time. I'm just laughing at the fact that suddenly Will Rogers.
When I said their secondary sucked, and their secondary did suck. Okay.
I'm just laughing at the fact that suddenly there's an SEC guy and you're all in now.
Well, I think what's happened here, this is where I was trying to get at. What I think happened was that Will Rogers had such a bad head coach. Joe, they legitimately, this is not a joke. Zach Arnett literally went from a 12 personnel type of offense to the air raid. Literally from 1 week to the next, that 1,000% happened. I think Will Rogers is a pretty good college quarterback because he makes right decisions. I do think that Fish is going to put him in very favorable situations, very favorable, which leads me to the question of, look, you bring in Jeremiah Hunter, the receiver. You do have Giles Jackson. You do have Denzel Ballston that will be there. Some younger guys that stuck around. You do have a true freshman and Justice Williams coming in. You do have Jonah Coleman, okay, who also comes in at running back. I don't think that they're going to be as bad as some people are expecting them to be. I just don't. I think offensively they might be okay. But, Joe, here's the problem that I have. Yeah. I have no idea what their offensive line is going to look like.
Yeah, they lost Parker Brailsford. They lost both of their tackles, Fotanu and Rosengarten, to the draft. So this is, and it's kind of similar to, very similar situation to Oklahoma, where you've got an offensive line that you're hitting a little bit of a reset button on, and you're stepping into a new conference where you have to be ready to go to war in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sitting here saying panic button, you're going to get your ass kicked. We're, all we're saying here is it's a question mark. This could go really poorly or it could be completely fine. And when you're hitting this reset button at a key important position, it tends to lead to problems. And it's the same thing could be said on the defensive line as well.
Look, I look at their schedule too. All right. I really don't know, if I'm being honest. Look, I think in the beginning of the season, it's pretty favorable for them. I think that, Joe, we can look up in the first quarter through the season. They play Weber State. They play Eastern Michigan. They play Washington State. They play Northwestern. Joe, there's a highly likelihood. And then they got to go all the way to Jersey, which I do think, look, you're going to continue to make fun of me on this. Going across the country, okay, I think it's going to be a big deal for some of these teams.
There's a four-hour time difference.
Okay, blow me. I've never been in the Eastern time zone but once. Okay, so I can't believe I just said blow me. Okay, but there is a likelihood, Joe, going into Michigan on October the 5th, that the Huskies are 5-0. And we are going to talk about Michigan in these deep dives. Joe, are you 1,000% confident that we know that what we have in Michigan? Now, I believe that Michigan can beat them. I think Michigan has more talent than them. Joe, they kind of have a favorable schedule here. In the beginning part of this, they do get Penn State late. They do have USC, but they have Oregon at the end of the season. Joe, I look at this, and I could see a scenario where they're 9-3, though.
I think you bring up the really good point in terms of their schedule. It's not an easy schedule, but they do get a soft landing by having a very easy opening stretch. So the first five games,
pretty gnarly too. That back end's kind of gnarly.
I think that they get chewed up on the back end. You mentioned the games that like really stood out to me is Michigan. I'm a little wary about what happens against USC. Penn State, going to Penn State, I think is going to be a really hard game for them. And Oregon, I think Oregon is going to be so pissed off after last year that they're going to be coming out with a vengeance, knowing that the importance of beating them and what it's going to mean for their national championship hopes. At Iowa, too, I think that is always just the vacuum in space that you step into. It's a black hole. You just kind of disappear for 4 hours, and you don't know what's going to happen. That could be a game that you get chewed up and spit out and lose because they're just going to drag you down to their level because you're playing at Iowa.
Well, and I think, too, there, to your point, the next week they go to Indiana. So, like, I'm not saying that there's trap games, but, Joe, you're talking about going on the road at a pretty far distance twice in 2 weeks, right? And by the way, in the entire month, okay, so in a four-game span, at Rutgers, Michigan at home, at Iowa, at Indiana. So, like, you look at USC and say, okay, well, yeah, they could beat USC. I could see that. But, Joe, the entire last month, they've had more miles than anybody. They have traveled more than anybody in the country. A
lot of travel.
That's a lot of travel there. So, Joe, like, I look at that November 2nd game versus USC, shit. Like, I mean, buddy, like, there comes a point where, like, I could see if it's just on paper that Washington is 9-3. I can also look in paper and say, man, the month of October is brutal for them for just travel alone. Not necessarily the teams. Indiana's not better than them. Iowa offensively, which, by the way, is still ranked 71st on the new College Football 25 game, which I think is freaking awesome. Can Iowa score? But is their defense going to be really good? Yeah. Joe, that month of October for them is going to be brutal, dude. So I just want to say, I think 9-3 is their ceiling. Buddy, I'm going to say 6-6, 7-5 could be the floor. If they get through October, though, if they go 3-1 in October, okay, I think they're set up for success because in November, brother, you got Penn State and Oregon, and you got to go both of those places. You better be really good in October because in November, that is a brutal stretch down the hall.
I'm going to narrow my projection a little bit more than yours.
Okay.
I think floor 7-5, ceilings 8-4. I think that, say again, that I'm just, so,
I'm sorry.
Floor is 7-5, ceiling is 8-4. I'm hyper-focused. And for some reason, a lot of college football fans, when we brought this up with Arizona, they don't want to come to terms with this being as important as it is. But depth is the most important thing in the sport. You could have a really good team, really good starters, but if you don't have good depth, you are going to get chewed up by the end of the season. I think that Jed Fish in year two is going to be a huge year for them. Like I think that we're going to be talking about them after recruiting, after what they do in the transfer portal. We're going to be talking about them as a big time Big Ten championship contender. I really truly believe that. But like we gotta be prepared, Washington fans, that this is going to be not as exciting as 2024. And just because it starts slow does not mean your team is going to be bad. This is a hard conference to win in, and you were given a pretty tough opening schedule. So very similar to Oklahoma.
7-5, 8-4. I'm assuming Oregon, Penn State.
Oregon, Penn State, Michigan. I think those are the three games that going to be too difficult to win because they're deeper. They've got more established coaching staffs, except for Michigan somewhat. But again, they're deeper. You know, they have more strings of recent success and all that stuff. That's going to be hard for them.
So then who are the other two teams that you think they can beat them?
Iowa and USC.
That's fair.
And I think that you could split those games. You could win both of them and you could go 9-3, but I don't think
I think they can even get upset by like Indiana. Like, I know you're going to laugh at me about that. Think about this.
It's not off base. It's not.
I mean, you live in LA, okay, in Seattle, in the same proximity in reference to Western time zone. Joe, how far is that New Jersey flight?
God, got to be 7 hours.
Wait, okay, so think about this. You got a 7-hour flight there, a 7-hour flight back. You turn right around, you got another 5-hour flight to Indiana, a 5-hour flight back.
6.5 nonstop, but I would assume.
Well, if they got
charter, it's a little harder, quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
but that's ass. Just do your homework, kids. Do your homework on the plane.
Did you ever do your last question for you. Did you ever do your homework on the plane?
Yeah, and on the bus, I mean, I would do it sometimes.
I never once did homework on a road trip. Never.
I mean,
I would always say in meetings? I'm not there to play school. I'm not here to play school.
You weren't going to the NFL. How the hell could you have that mentality? That's ridiculous. What?
I'm not here to play school.
That is insane. Oh, wow. You might be the only Southeastern Louisiana offensive lineman who's ever said that.
It's clearly I'm just joking. It's a lie. Brent Blazevich, I think it was, who was sitting next to me. I literally was doing calculus the entire I think we played at Texas State.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole bus ride. And by the way, they didn't fly us. They made us go to Texas State in the bus.
Worst we would do was a 10-hour bus to Maine.
Oh,
that was shit. One year we only have two buses when the budget was a little tight. I had to sit next to an offensive lineman for 10 Sean? Hours because it yes, wasn't it Sean. Sean. It was Kevin. It was Kevin Cole. I think it was Kevin Coleman. Forget who it was. He played in the CFL for a little bit, but
tomorrow we're live back tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're back.
All right. We'll see y'all then. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.